You know what time it is, no matter where you've been. So let's do it again. Listen up and let the sun shine in. We've got soul training. Time to practice what you preach. Ooh, yeah. Yes, we do. We've got soul training.
And here's Daniel, Alan, and Joe.
Hey, Joe, do you miss Daniel?
I do miss Daniel.
Why do you miss him? Because he's not here. That should be the answer.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I was trying to lead you in. Why isn't Daniel here?
Daniel, like he so often does, is traveling right now. And actually, he's about as far away from us as he could be. I don't know if surely he's not trying to get away from us.
I don't think so. He knows what's happening tomorrow right now.
He does. I spoke to him a second ago, and it is 8 o'clock at night currently while we're recording this.
Thursday.
To Daniel on a Wednesday night. To Daniel, it's 3 o'clock in the morning tomorrow because he is in New Zealand.
Really?
Yeah, that's right.
Wow. That's you can't get there from here. It's a long way out.
Well, he got there from here.
It took a while.
It did.
Well, we miss Daniel a lot, but we have an able-bodied professional replacement, and we're going to talk about something. We brought him on because he's an expert. We only bring experts on.
That's right.
We don't bring amateurs. We don't, anybody.
Except for us.
Us. Well, I said we bring on professionals because we can't handle some of the heavy lifting.
That's right.
So we got to bring in some people. And we're going to talk about something everybody loves to talk about, not food. But money. Everybody likes to kind of talk about money. I always introduce myself as a for-profit organization. That's what I am. I'm not a nonprofit. I'm a for-profit individual. But we have a gentleman here. I'm going to say this, and I'll step out of his way. Mr. Terry Bunnell, he is a brother in Christ, but he's also a successful individual outside of the church, outside of the building, and outside of our congregation, and very successful within our community. And so, Terry, if you would just tell the world a little bit about you. How many countries are we in, Daniel? I mean, Joe, Daniel. Sorry.
Daniel's,
sorry.
Thought we established that.
See, the absence makes the heart grow fonder.
We're 40-plus countries in every state so far.
Wow. How many counties in Kentucky are we in?
I don't know. All of them. I don't know.
Okay. Well, Terry is going to tell all 40 of those countries and beyond about himself.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. I'm delighted to be here and thankful to all of you that put this together. It's a great program. Y'all do a great job with it. And Daniel does a great job with it, too. So I'm going to plug him in there.
Right.
As, even though he's not here, he does a great job with it. But I've been in banking for many, many years. I started when I was a junior in high school. So that was few days ago, but been around finance for many, many years. Enjoy it. There's a lot of challenges with it, but you get to see a lot of good things with it and help people. And as we talk tonight about money and wealth, I think the message we want people to understand is that it can be a good thing.
Yeah.
And that your wealth and your money and how you manage it and how you treat it, it's good. And there's a responsibility with it. And everybody, please understand that. There is a lot of responsibility. And I've noticed that over the years that more money is more responsibility. And I think God calls us to that as He's blessed us in many, many ways. And when He's blessed us with more finances, more wealth, then He wants more from us because He has blessed us with those. And He didn't just say, here, go do what you want to do. There's a lot that goes with that. And so as we go through the night, I know we'll have questions. But, I thought I'd start out tonight just in discussion with you guys and with the listeners on this. That there's over 2,000 verses about money or possessions in the Bible. 2,000 verses.
A frequent topic.
Very frequent topic. I mean, it's spoken about. So it's important to God that we realize what we have and what we do with what we have. And follow up on that 16 out of 38 of Jesus' parables deal with money or possessions. Almost half.
Wow.
So you know, there's an emphasis on it for a reason. And you try to think about what that reason is. And I think, you know, God is saying to us, all right, what are you going to do with what I've given you? How are you going to treat it? You know, what, again, the responsibility with it. Don't take it for granted. You're going to serve people with it. You're going to glorify me with it. And I've given it to you to enjoy. It's not to stay away from, but there's importance to it. So 16 out of 38 of Jesus' parables deal with money or possessions. 25% of Jesus' words deal with biblical stewardship. Stewardship. Now, we all have things to take care of, and one of those is money. So, again, the emphasis on stewardship, what do we, again, do with it? And we bear that responsibility. Do we look at it as, you know, I don't want this? Or if I acquire finances and I've been blessed, God's given to me, then, you know, again, what do I do with it? I sit back and don't do anything with it? That's God's saying, no, you got to do something with it. And hopefully later on we'll talk about a lot of those.
Yeah, and it's something, you know, I think one reason Jesus mentioned it is it's something that affects everyone. Everyone has to have money to eat, to have shelter. It's a common thread throughout humanity. You all have to have, I mean, if it's not dollars, it's something of value you can trade, some sort of currency.
Right.
So it's something everyone relates to. We all need it. We all understand the importance of it.
Sure, sure. Yeah, money's the medium of exchange. That's the way it's defined.
Right.
And so we know it's used in its exchange. Obviously, here in America, we have the dollar, and we know what a dollar is, and we know what the value of that is. It's a dollar. Now, we can debate, is it really a dollar, or is it just only, you know, 50 cents in value?
Yeah.
You know, but we recognize it for what it is there.
It gives you purchasing power.
Right. 1 out of 10 verses in the gospel deal with money.
Wow.
1 out of 10 verses deal with money. So, you know, in the gospel. So a lot to consider as we think about our money we earn, we inherit. I mean, you know, money comes to us in a lot of different ways. And so how are we going to treat it? One of the key items that I want us to talk about tonight and to know this is that we cannot worship wealth. We worship with our wealth. Now, don't worship your wealth, okay? Don't worship it. It doesn't become your God. You're going to go out and you're going to go worship with our wealth. You're going to put it into practice. You're going to glorify God with it. You're going to help mankind with it. You're not going to, it's not going to be your God. It's not what, you know, you're working every day so you can acquire more and keep acquiring more. You know, take your money to worship.
And when you say wealth, that doesn't mean piles of cash. Because I think of the lady that gave all she had, and Jesus talked about
the widow's mite.
The widow's mite.
Great example.
What a great example she was to everybody. She didn't have much in, as far as means. But she gave all she had. She had wealth enough to give and do something good with it.
Exactly. And so that's what all of us, because we're all at a different levels. I mean, we sitting around this table, we all have different jobs, and so we have different income levels. So what are we doing with those dollars? You know, I've been involved in fundraising for many, many years, and the saying with fundraising is we don't give the same dollars, you give the same sacrifice. And that's what I think that's what God's calling us to. I mean, you have lots, he requires lots. If you have small, he requires that. It's whatever you are, that's what God's requiring of us. And we need to recognize that so that our wealth, okay, we worship with our wealth. Again, we don't worship it. We can't. Because it does not belong to us. Never has, never will. And lots of scripture says, God says it all belongs to me. You're foolish if you think it's yours. So you got to do something with it. And, you know, we know the talents, you know, right?
And that's what you're talking about with being a good steward.
Yeah.
I'm sure our listeners are familiar with Dave Ramsey. You guys know Dave Ramsey?
Yeah.
In some places,
he gives you the same advice as Grandma gave you, but he keeps his teeth in.
That's exactly what he says.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he says.
Yeah.
But Dave Ramsey, he brings that point up. It's not our money anyhow. It's God. So I think that's an excellent point here.
I have a lot of And I don't mind being vulnerable. I have a lot of hang-ups about money. I've shared things with Joe, and everybody has a different origin, a different background. And so I've always struggled with the idea of money and the fact that perception is reality. You know, I've always wondered, why are some people more wealthy than others? But I know that wealth is relative. You know, I went on one trip with Joe, mission trip. I've only gone out of the country twice. I went to Central America twice, and that made me, you know, I thought I grew up, you know, less until I went to Central America, and you realize how.
Yeah, you asked where the bathroom is, and there's not one.
Yeah, I mean, and that's just the norm. I mean, that's just how it is.
That's right.
And so, but our poor in the United States live so much better than the middle class or poor in other countries. So that taught me a long time ago that wealth is relative. But yet in the U.S., I kind of struggle with why are some people more wealthy than others? And then you mentioned, and I'd written this down, how we use you said 16 of 38 verses that Jesus talks about. How,
16 out of 38 parables.
Parables, sorry. Yeah, I left that part out. How we use money, but then I wrote a note. Is he more concerned how we use money or how we attain money? I was raised by parents of the Great Depression, and most of my older aunts and uncles, I mean, their mindset, you know, I look at how they, even down to meals, you know, they would never eat out. Always ate. I don't get too off topic, but the way this is their attitude towards spending, they just didn't spend money. You know, they just kind of stacked it up because they were afraid that the banks are going to crash again. You know, those kind of things. But it was that attitude that I wish I had more of, that I don't have, but I wish I had that. So I've always kind of, for me as a Christian, kind of, I feel like that it's, if you have someone who is like super, super duper wealthy, does that restrict your ability to spread the gospel?
No, I don't think so at all. I think... Well, it could. All right, definitely could. Regardless of your wealth, your income level, I mean, there are hang-ups that you could have. You could say, I don't have like he has or she has, therefore I'm not going to do. They should be doing more. Well, no, that's not what Scripture says. It's what do you do? What does God require of you? And so we've got to look at it that way. I think of Ecclesiastes and the writer of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, or whomever we're going to credit Ecclesiastes with, but we'll say Solomon. And chapter 11 of Ecclesiastes, the first part of that is, I love that part of Ecclesiastes because the writer there is saying, go take a risk, go invest. You don't know what's going to happen. You know, you don't go and say, well, it looks like it's going to be cloudy today, so I'm not going to go out and do anything. No, you cast it out and you go for it. And once you have earnings or you are generous and you share, you look at Scripture and you say, that's what Jesus is talking about in those parables. You're generous. You've got to share it. Again, it all belongs to me. But in Ecclesiastes, you know, chapter 11, verse 2, it says, invest in seven ventures. Yes, in eight. You don't know what disaster may come upon the land. You know, you've got to be generous. You've got to be a risk taker, and you've got to understand that. But then what do you do with it? And Solomon keeps on. He says, you're going to think you're going to have all this money, but in the end, okay, who are you going to leave it to? Someone else is going to inherit it. Someone else is going to get it. Hey, so why stress over it? Because in the end, it's going to go to somebody else. And you don't know who it's going to, you think you might know who it goes to, but I want you to enjoy what I've given you. Okay. Know where it comes from. Okay. Enjoy it. Put it to good works. And you'll be blessed. You'll have wealth. And we got to get people to understand that wealth comes in a lot of different forms. It's not just a dollar sign. It's when, you know, there's a book I read a long time ago, Giving is Living. I think that's the topic of it. Giving is living. And by, you understand, by giving, you're helping other people. So you get that fulfillment from that. I mean, you look around, you go, you know, we could, what, a couple of weeks ago, this church on a Sunday morning.
Almost $30,000.
I think that's a great number.
It's a lot of money.
All right. Where did it go?
Yeah, to the expansion of the borders of the kingdom.
There you go. It's no better. There's no better way to use your finances than that right there.
You know, as you listen, you talk, and I'm speaking of wealth, before I read this scripture, Luke 12:48b, you know, you mentioned that wealth comes in a lot of different ways. And, of course, tonight, you know, even I led in, you know, set the tone about dollars and pressed upon that. But you're right. You know, I'm looking at one of the wealthiest people or the wealthiest things that I have, or I'm with because of my child is sitting here. And I have another child, too, who's not here. But I have two wonderful children.
Well, yeah.
Two wonderful
Asa
children.
Is our live audience.
He is okay.
This is a perfect opportunity. Asa, would you like to say hello to the people?
Hello, everybody.
There you go.
He's been begging me for 3 years.
He's persistent. He's persistent, very persistent. But when I look at him, I also think of his sister and my wife and beyond, and you get the point, is, you know, I get, and I'm talking about me, I get hung up on the wealth or dollars and the material things, but I know tons and tons of people, just as you
well,
do.
Are you saying, keep going.
Well, I was just going to say, I know tons of, I get hung up on the material visuals. I'm talking about me, I do. But then I've seen tons of people who have knew everything, the top of the line, everything, but yet spiritually they know nothing about Christ. Their homes, not their houses, but their homes are in shambles. And that makes me sad. Then it makes me realize, hey, I may be struggling in this area, or my car may not be X, or my house may be X square feet. But I'm the wealthiest guy in the world, you know, because of my family, because of my wife and two kids. That's wealth to me.
I think you're right.
Yeah, we sang the song, Count Your Many Blessings. And we, you know, name them one by one, and you know, I think it'd take us a long time.
We all can.
And, yeah, there's a lot of blessings we have, and we don't stop to think about those.
So that's wealth.
Yeah, and the thing that we don't want people to do is to keep score. You know, this is not a game. We're not looking up at a scoreboard and saying he, she, they, their score is X, my score is only this. Therefore, I'm not as good as that.
But that's a natural
progression,
especially for men. Yeah. We keep score like that, but that's not how we should
be. You can't
be.
Do it. And going back to Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 10, the writer says, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This, too, is meaningless. So here's the wisdom of the Scripture.
And if that is Solomon, that was the richest guy on the world at the time saying that.
And employees, nobody could grasp the number of.
Yeah, and so he had it all. So what he's trying to say to is, you've got to keep it in perspective. You know, you've heard it said, I only want the land that joins my land. Have you ever heard that?
That could go on forever.
Okay, that's the point. It could go on forever. So that's foolish to say that and try to live that way, because you never will accomplish that. And so just right here is what Solomon's saying. Riches can be meaningless if you don't know how to appreciate and how they are to be used. And that's, again, that's why so much Scripture comes to us. Are you going to, you know, you can't love, what, two masters?
Can have one foot in the world, one foot in the church.
Right, right.
I wanted to ask you just, and I still haven't got to Luke 12:48, to step away from Scripture just for a minute. This is a secular question. How long have you been in banking? You said since a teenager. So what?
Yeah.
Five or 6 years, something like that. Yeah. How long have you been in?
Well, I've been in banking, since 1978, so we do the math on that.
45 years.
About, yeah.
So what causes people, like, unfortunately, the ugly side of your business is you've seen foreclosures. You've seen people lose assets for different reasons. But what are some things that What are some reasons why people go bankrupt or struggle with money?
Well, there's several things there. The first time is people live beyond their means. I mean, that's, you know, your income is X, and it's X, but you want it to be XX, and you're not going to get XX. You acquire too much debt, so your monthly payments drown you. And you're doing that because you want the latest gadget. You mentioned earlier, Alan, you want to keep up. You want the latest, the greatest of this or that.
Or that land to join your land.
Yeah, and people lack discipline. We all lack discipline in lots of things, you know. So you've got to have the discipline to say you cannot let money, again, become your God. You go worship with your money. You don't worship your money. You go to worship with your money. It means you take it and you do good with it, okay? But that's what people do. They live beyond their means. And they may start out, you know, they're in good shape, things are going well, but then they think, okay, then I can go to the next level and go to the next level. Well, they should have held back. You know, that car that you're driving or that vehicle may be okay to keep it. It might be 5 years old, might be seven, might be 10 years old.
It's paid for.
Now, think about that. And you know, we make money off of interest. Interest spoken of in the Bible. That's my profession. But you've got to manage it. I want people to do well and be successful. I don't want them to stress over their money. When they start stressing, they start making bad decisions. And that doesn't work out well. And other things that happen in the course of life, if someone filing bankruptcy, it could be a disaster. It could be a death. And divorce causes that. So
medical bills are huge.
Medical bills are there in it. But all of us need to look at it in saying, go back to us, we're consumers. Now think about that. The word consumer, we have consumption. So we're consuming things. That's what we're doing. Now we've got to know how much to consume and how much not to consume. And we get inundated with, you need this, Alan. You need 10 of those Mont Blanc pens. No, Alan does not need 10 of those.
I mean, those are your words, not mine.
No, you do not, Alan. I want to tell you, you do not need those, all of those. And so you talk to people.
This one's a gift, by the way.
I was a gift. Okay. Yeah, there you go. Joey's saying it's a gift. Now, see, he's backing off on us.
But that has been fair. It's documented. Okay. It's a gift.
But you look at individuals who are in a position where they do have a lot of wealth, and you will ask them about it. And they will tell you, you know, they drive this vehicle of this age. They buy their clothing at this store. They don't have to have the latest and the greatest. And they've planned for it, and they put back more than they consume.
Saved or invested.
Yeah, you've got to put money back. You cannot spend it all. When you spend it all, guess what? You have nothing left. And so, you know, we can look at Proverbs 31 and talk about the worthy woman, you know, the wife there. That's a great example, someone who used her talents, did what she did it very well, and took care of a lot of people.
And industrious.
Industrious, and she was profitable. Scripture says that she was profitable. So the wife of noble character, why was she like that? Well, she had discipline. She looked at what she did, and she knew where she got what she had and the responsibility of what she did have. And so and that's all the instruction that we get in Scripture is saying, you know, there's wealth. I want you to use it right. Again, going back to Solomon, you'll never have enough money. You keep chasing it. You know, we talk about the rat race. Well, okay, why do we get in that and think we got to keep in that? I mean, all of us probably can think of times. I remember when Debbie and I were students at Freed Hardeman, and now this goes back to the early 80s, and I'm going to embarrass her with it. And we would go out to the dairy dip and a twist. You know what a twist is? You have vanilla ice cream and chocolate ice cream.
Yeah, you're speaking my language
now. Okay. I know. I see you're getting excited. And we would scrounge to find it was 53 cents for a medium-sized twist. And we would split it. And that was a treat for us.
Well, you must have been 50. Quite the salesman in college.
Yeah. I mean, I think Debbie really loved me, I think. I hope she still does. I think she does. I know she does.
I will take this twist, and I will turn it into a lot one day.
Yeah. That's right. But the point I'm trying to make to that is that you've got to live within your means. You cannot splurge. I want you to splurge for some things because God says, I want you to enjoy what I've given to you. But you've got to manage it in a way. And just think about all the money. I go back to Fried Hardeman University and think of all the buildings that have been built there by people who have donated money. I know one particular couple that I'm thinking of that have given millions of dollars to that university. I know them, and I know their heart, and I know why they do what they do. They care about other people. That they'll never spend all the money they have. That's not their intent. They want to give it away so that other people are blessed. And that's the great thing. I mean, that's the greatest thing we can do with our money.
That's right. Let me I want to recap something, sure, though, just so it doesn't pass by. Not all of us will have the same a number in our checking account. Hmm. And that's okay. Actually, probably we want folks to have I want folks to have more than I do so they can give those millions of dollars to good. So it's not wrong to be wealthy.
No.
It's not wrong to have nice things.
No.
It is wrong when those nice things consume you, and that's why you're working, is to get those nice things. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying, because you look at Scripture and you think about Paul's message in Philippians. What's he talk about? He talks about contentment. I mean, what better feeling to know that you're content? And you know, Paul writes that in chapter 4 of Philippians and talks about being content and whatever state he's in. And you got to read all of chapter 4 to understand, you know, this has happened and that's happened, and I've had great and I've not had so great. But I've learned to be content. And that's where we all have to get to with our wealth. If we're not content with it, we're in a dire situation. I mean, just a very dire situation. And God doesn't want us, you know, not to enjoy what He's given us. He talks so much about, I love you. I love you and I love you. And the reason I talk so much in Scripture about money is you do not love money because what did Paul say in 1 Timothy? Chapter 6 and verse 10, the love of money. He didn't say money.
Love.
I was a student at David Lipscomb taking the exam. We were studying 1 Timothy. And, you know, all right, what's 1 Timothy say? I said the money, you know, okay, you know. And the professor said, that's wrong, and graded it wrong. And I said, no, that's what it says, money. And he said, no, Terry, it's love of money. And everybody, you know, a lot of people missed that question, not just me, but, you know, we left out the love of money. And so there's a big difference. When you love something, you're going to be devoted to it. You're going to be committed to it. It's going to drive everything that you do. But when you have money, you keep it in perspective. And it is the love of money that becomes dangerous. And that's, you know, Alan, go way back to your question.
We've all met people that have talked to us that they have that on their heart, and it's not hard to see.
Yeah.
The folks I'm thinking of, they're miserable.
Yeah.
They're miserable. Yeah. But that's all they think about is how to do it. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Terry.
No. Alan, it's a question about, you know, I've been in banking many years and seen what he's seen, you know, where people get into problems is then they love money. I don't think they really love money. They love the things. They love the possessions. You know, they want a bigger vehicle. They want a this or that, and again, it's out of their reach, and so that they're loving the wrong thing. And again, what are you going to do with those things?
And then I guess to take it a step further is, and I, you know, years ago I used to literally work 7 days a week. I worked 7 days a week because I wanted things. And I know folks who have say they're able to pay for their things, but they still are out. It never ends. Like Solomon says, they're grasping the wind. There's nothing new under the sun, and they just continue to, in order to keep up, and I just always laugh when people talk about keeping up with the Joneses. I think that's so hilarious.
But you're the Jones.
Yes, it's so funny. Yeah. And it's laughable in so many ways. But everybody's trying to keep up with the Joneses, and the fact that you end up working every – then your health is wealth, and then you trade your health for this perceived wealth, and the next thing you know, I mean, you're
well. It's the old adage of you can't take it with you.
But you become that attitude. That becomes that attitude, and you're consumed with all those things. And Asa had slipped me something, Luke 12:48, and it writes how Terry kind of started. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more. So it goes back to that responsibility. The more we've been blessed, the more we've been given, then we can't, sit on that money. You've got to, I know we've had your father-in-law, Scott, on here back some time ago about even within the church, elders, that's the money in the treasury, that money is to be working. I think you kind of parlay that into the leadership of the direction of the church. I mean, no pun intended, you're a banker, but the church is not a bank. It's not that we're not to be hoarding dollars.
We're hoarding it, it's not working for us.
It should be working.
We need to put it out there. Well, I say working for us, working for God.
You're right.
Expanding the borders. But I'll tell you guys, you're not going to believe this, our time's pretty much up already. We didn't get through everything. But like I've spoken before.
But Daniel's in that time zone. I mean, where can we kind of use our...
We got to talk till he comes back.
There you go.
So we probably won't be able to get to everything that we had talked in our little pre-show discussions. But one thing, there's a couple of things.
I had one more thing too, Acts 4:32-37. It connects with what Terry said, but I'll do that last. Go. I'm going to go again.
Okay. Well, I put the questions out there for folks that might want to ask you something. Some of these we've already covered a little bit about wealth. Turns out we talked a lot about wealth during this. Someone asked if we're commanded to tithe. You hear that word quite a bit in giving back. You don't hear tithing much in the Church of Christ. So what's your answer on that?
You look at the scripture on that. You gave an example of, you knew the scripture earlier about the woman who gave, all she had. That was all she had. You talked to scripture about being a cheerful giver. It doesn't say, hey, you'll be cheerful if you give 10%, or you'll be cheerful if you give 25%. See, scripture talks about examining your life. And you have to determine that. I can't determine it for you. All that I can say to you is you must have a level of where you're giving away so that you are a joyful giver, that you show gratitude for what God's given to you, and you share that. You do something with it. You've got to invest in the souls of other people. I know Andy Baker. He's been on the program here before. Great work that World Christian Broadcasting does. I'm thankful to be involved with that. We raise about $3 million a year.
Wow.
Every year, that's what it takes to run that organization. It has to be dollars given. Okay? Those dollars are given to that organization. We have a great donor right now. He has challenged us as we've raised $200,000. He will match it with a $200,000 gift.
Wow.
Okay. Now, think about that. Now, again, now is that a 10% of his money, 5%? Is it 1%? I don't know. I really don't know. And I'm not going to judge that. But he's got to be a joyful giver because he's got that relationship with God. And when you have that relationship with God, you don't want to shortchange God because God's going to say again, who does it belong to?
Luke 12:48. There's more expected of you.
Yeah, there's more expected of you. So we've got this relationship, we have a relationship with God, and so he has this that he wants to do it this way. Fantastic. Let's do it that way, and all the good that will come from that gift. He's taking his $200,000 and turning it into $400,000. So going back to the tithe, I don't we can't get hung up on that, because then it becomes a number and it's a checklist thing and it's not a heart thing. And if we don't have the heart right, what did Christ say about it? You think you're giving, but you're not giving. You want to be seen for your giving. You want people to...
You've already got your reward.
There you... You know, look at him. We know him. Yeah, look at how he wants to be recognized for his gift. Christ says, you got it all wrong.
And Paul even references in 1 Corinthians 13 that, you know, without love, you're just a noisemaker.
Yeah.
I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah. But. It cannot be for show. If you do, God says that's foolish. I mean, in Scripture... tells over and over again, that's not the right way. She gave from the heart. And so tithing, that's why I think it's not, we don't need to go there. And I'm not trying to be short.
Well, it's an Old Testament principle too.
Yeah. But again, what did Christ say? I give you a new commandment. It's a love commandment. You break it down, it's a love commandment. So again, talked about earlier is, you know, you're living by giving. Again, you got to keep that. Long answer. Sorry about that.
That's okay. I won't be able to get through all these.
Sure you can.
So
you're in charge.
Yeah, you're the engineer or whatever.
Yeah, I'm so good. I couldn't pipe Daniel in here. Okay. So one thing we talked about being responsible with our money. I also want to bring out, just because someone has more wealth than someone else, that doesn't mean God loves that person more than the other person. We don't know what the reason is, but we do know the Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust. There are some people that are very wealthy that are not godly at all. There are some very godly people who don't have much in material means. So I want to put that out there. If someone maybe doesn't have as much or would wish they had more, God's not holding you back necessarily and giving that to someone else. It's not your fault, or, you know, I guess it could be your fault if you're not taking the steps to have a job and whatnot, but someone's not more loved than another person. God loves all of us.
And Joe, that's a great point. You can carry that across so many spectrums of life. And saying, you know, why do bad things happen to good people?
Yes.
And you've got to say, when we think that because you live in big house, drive a big vehicle, you have all this stuff, then God is just, he just loves you more than he loves me. No, God's probably scratching his head saying, no, you got this all wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have blessed him or her. I have blessed you. Remember, I have blessed each of you. Do with what I have given to you. That Scripture talks over and over again. So you're going to say, okay, Jesus Christ went to the cross. He was crucified. So he was not successful? That's the way the world would define it. So we can't. We look at, again, we're keeping score. And you cannot keep score. If you do, you're going to stress out. And it's not worth stressing out.
That's right. One question is, are we obligated to give to panhandlers? And I guess a bigger version of this would be, we've talked a lot about using our money for good. We don't know the situations of folks holding signs on the streets. All of them obviously need some help of some sort. I'm not sure we can provide all of the help that they need. And I've heard, this is a controversial question, but as Christians, are we obligated to give to those folks, not knowing if we're being lied to or presented with the truth in those situations? What do you think about that?
There's several ways to look at that one. Let's look at Scripture from the standpoint, what did Paul do going from church to church? He was gathering a collection, right? Right? For the church in Jerusalem.
I thought you were talking to Joe. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
He was looking at you.
I was really looking at you, Alan.
I was studying my Bible. Sorry.
This is really good. So a really good thing.
But I agree with you. Yes, that's what he was doing.
All right. So so how is the money going to be used? It was going back to help those who were in need. Now, we could say, well, we don't know how they're going to use it. We don't know they're going to spend it foolishly. We don't know. That's not, again, for us to judge. Now, we want to be wise in what we give, okay? Well, I mean, but wise to the cause that we give for, and we can figure that out because we don't want to give and never help anyone with that gift. We're enabling them not to do anything. We're enabling them not to grow up, to mature. And see, the giver and the receiver have responsibilities. We do. I mean, you must acknowledge that. You're not going to look at your children just give, and they're not doing anything. They're lying on the couch, and they're, you know, doing this or that. You're going to say, no, okay, you need to do this and that. So that's the giver and the gift have a responsibility in this relationship. So,
sometimes if someone's holding a sign, need money for food, sometimes you just buy them food. I saw a guy one time, need diapers, kids at home, can't afford it. So I got him diapers.
Sure, you did a good job. It's the right thing to do.
And I'm not saying, I say this humbly, I guess is what I'm saying.
But you avoid giving cash.
But sometimes giving them what they need is better for them than just giving them money.
Right.
Because not all folks in that position, but a lot of them have, there's a temptation if they have money in their pocket to use that for things that they shouldn't be. Where they still need, as humans, the things we all need, shelter, food, you know, things for the kids. And so you don't have to give money, would be my answer to my own question.
You can still help them, but in different, way.
You can still help them. Man, we're like way over.
Yeah. But
Just splice it. Make it like two.
I want to give Alan a lot of credit here. A couple of weeks ago in the newsletter, the church newsletter, you wrote about greed. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good. He's back with us now.
Yeah, I'm plugged in back.
Okay. And so
after this, I didn't tell you this. You got to do the outro, Bubba.
Really?
You got to do it.
I'm pumped.
I tried it, and I totally – did you hear the one I did? It was a total train wreck.
No, it wasn't.
I want to hear what you can do. Sorry, go ahead.
He entitled it. I saved this, Alan. So
well, thank you.
Greed, what are you drawn to? ? And so he talks about God owns everything. We've spoken to that tonight. The love of money is the root of all evil, again, from 1 Timothy. And the Bible clearly states about the purposes of money. And you concluded that. You said – may we be drawn or may be drawn to Christ and not the dollar. I mean, that was your emphasis being, you know, about don't let greed. I mean, greed can be so dangerous and money can turn into greed and there's pride that can develop with money. And those are not where we want to be. We do not want to be there. And a scripture that comes up from Proverbs, I wrote this down, Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 11, gathers money little by little, makes it grow. Yeah,
he mouthed that with you as you read it. He knows it.
Asa was out there. Great.
That's right.
All right. So we're in tune here, Asa. That's great. So, but what the writer, I think, is the wisdom from that is little by little makes it grow. And you got to think about that. He was trying to say to us, I believe, that you don't make a big splash with it. You earn it, and you earn it, you know, over time, and you invest it in people and things. Yes, you save back. Should you have a retirement account?
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with having
a retirement. Seems like the responsible thing if you're able to.
Exactly. So, again, don't let money overtake you. Don't stress about it. You manage it. You've got to say no to purchases. You've got to have discipline with it. And above all, we got to trust in God. I mean, that's the
point. I think the whole episode could be summed up with the don't let the love of money, don't fall into that trap, like it says in 1 Timothy.
It's a snare.
It is a snare.
Yeah, and I missed that question in Bible class at Lipscomb many, many years ago. I mean,
you haven't forgotten it since, though.
I have not. I still have that saying, you know, but money is the root of all evil. You know, it's the love of money, Terry.
It's the love of money.
Big difference.
All right. Alan, can you take us home? We only went over 15 minutes.
That's not bad because it pays the same, doesn't it?
It does.
About money.
It's still a free program.
That's what I thought.
It's a great value.
Is a great value. That's right.
I really have learned a tremendous amount. My perspective has improved, and hopefully my attitude and my awareness about money has improved as well. And I've been greatly benefited and blessed by Terry being with us.
Absolutely.
Even though in the absence of Daniel, we've been blessed and compensated, no pun intended, with Terry's wisdom and his love for God and his willingness to share his knowledge and perspective in a secular profession, but with a spiritual approach. So very thankful for him. And I do really miss Daniel, and this is, he's an expert at closing us out and bringing us home. But since he's not here, Daniel, we miss you, because you too now are a dear listener, since you're not with us. But to our dear listeners, we pray and hope that soul training continues to be important to you as it is to us, because we truly believe at Soul Training, all souls matter. And if you have a question, if you have something that you want to know more about, please email us. That all that information, contact information, will be at the end of this lesson or this podcast or this session. Please do so. And we are so thankful that we've had actually two guests in the room with Asa Jones.
Yeah, Asa had a cameo there.
I don't want to speak for you, Joe, because you're in charge, but I really feel he's done a really good job, and he is my kid. I'm biased, but he's well behaved, and he's contributed. He's made a contribution. And I just feel like one of these days he's going to be a standalone guest, but that's another episode. Just give you something to hope
Ace
for.
Ace is saying wrap it up, and I agree with him.
Yeah, he is.
I
love what we do. But again, Terry Bunnell is awesome. Very thankful for him and what he does and his family. And I don't want to speak for Terry, but knowing him as well as I do, he is willing to always make himself available to help anyone when it comes to spiritual matters, but also financial matters, with advice and direction. I have no doubt about that. We love you all very much. And dear listener, just keep on soul training.
Soul training. Time to practice what you preach. Yes, we do. We've got soul training.
To learn more, you can email us at soultrainingpodcast@gmail.com, or you can write to us, P.O. Box 503, Glasgow, Kentucky, 42142. That's soul training.